We're also brought to you by our friends over at Sharp Focus Nutrition. Let's face it, when you go out and play golf, you probably don't eat and drink very well. Well, a couple hot dogs, a few beers, yeah, we get it. Sharp Focus Nutrition replaces all of that with a systematic way to not only stay replenished throughout your round, but to also improve your game in doing so. Go out to sharpfocusnutrition.com to learn about their system. Let them know that we sent you. Pick up a system right now. sharpfocusnutrition.com. Welcome to the Golf Unfiltered Podcast, your source for all things golf, including in-depth interviews, new equipment highlights, and answers to golf questions you might be too afraid to ask. My goal? To help you learn more about the game so you can enjoy it even more. Let's dive in. All right, everyone, welcome back to the Golf Unfiltered Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam from golfunfiltered.com. Go ahead and give us a follow on all the social media channels at Golf Unfiltered. And, of course, you can find me making a fool of myself, usually, on any of those. I'm here on location at a partner, longtime partner, Coghill Golf Course. I'm here with the general manager, Troy Newport. Troy, how are you today?
Very good, thank you. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, man, I'm glad we could do this. I live just down the street, as you know. And it's funny because Mrs. GU, Kristen, is actually hitting golf balls at the fantastic driving range you've got down here.
I love it.
What do you guys got going on here? I mean, you've got, like, every time I'm here, there's something new at the driving range.
Yeah, we kind of walked you through some construction stuff we're going on in the clubhouse too, but we'll start with the golf, the important stuff. So yeah, the this is really the first full winter we've had those heated bays. The 21 add-ons that we did last year for Top Tracer has made a significant difference in winter business.
Yeah, I believe.
Obviously the weather's been a little better in January and February this year than it's had in the past couple years too, at least since I've been here. I was up on 4 years that I've been here. So, but that has been easily the biggest change to the facility. From an operational standpoint, I mean, people, Glenn, as you know, Glenn Eagles is no longer.
Yep.
And so that's 36 holes of reasonably priced golf in the area that's gone. So we feel like there's some, you know, connection to those folks looking for a place to hit golf balls or playing simulator golf or something that they can do with Top Tracer. So,
right.
But we are doing more in the winter months now than we did during the season before we put Top Tracer in.
Holy cow.
Month.
Wow.
So it has been. It's been a great move. We've got some future plans that we may be able to add that I can't announce today, but we may be able to add to that area. So it's definitely a footprint we're looking to try to capitalize on a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, every time I'm out here, and I come out here a lot.
yeah, we appreciate that.
Yeah, that's no good. Problem.
You're headed for clubs.
Oh, yeah, kind of stuff. All sorts of things. it is always just jam-packed. You've got two bars near the driving range right now. And during the summer months, you've got the food truck out there. You've even got bags out there. I see a bunch of kids out there playing bags sometimes. I mean, would it be fair to say that the driving range area is getting closer to that entertainment / golf academy? Or what's the vision long term with the driving range?
Yeah, I mean, my vision, and I think the gyms have finally, you know, gotten on board with this, is the entertainment part of it.
It's, yeah.
You know, certainly we have a great instructional program. I'll talk a little bit about some of the things that some of the instructors have won this year, which, you know, they aren't Coghill employees per se. They're independent contractors, but they're a great group of instructors. And so they use some of the heated bays this time of year, too. Mm-hmm. And then during the season, we use the bays for Top Tracer and some other things. So there's certainly an instructional element to it. But entertainment's kind of my focus is, let's find a way. In the winter, it's a little harder to have the bar open because they're outdoor bars. You stand up and kind of get your drink, and there's no real place to sit down inside besides at one of the bays. So we're looking to kind of combat that a little bit, but also just get it to where people have a place to go to hit some golf balls, have meet the friends, go on date night, do what you, I know you and Mrs. Golf Unfiltered are down there some time together. You know, that's the whole thing is we have fully embraced that. We don't think it's competition necessarily for the rest of the business. It's it's kind of a complimentary.
Yeah, I think that's entirely fair. And it's good, too, because, you know, as you mentioned, you expanded recently within the last year, I would guess, that Top Tracer to all the bays. You've got some new hitting mats out there as well. You got the individual heaters on the, what is that, the west side?
Yeah, we call it the Archer side.
The Archer side.
Closest to Archer Road, yeah.
Fair enough.
Exactly.
Yeah, and, you know, I think it's great because, like you said, when I'm out here, sometimes during the evening, you see every single type of golfer on the spectrum.
Right.
You know, you've got the people that obviously have never played the game before mm-hmm. ever, but they're out here with their friends. They're having a great time.
Yep.
But then, like, recently, over the last couple of days, I've been out here earlier, and mm-hmm. you've got the serious, they want to come out and work on their game,
grinders,
especially
I call
the
them.
Grinders. Yeah. And so you kind of hit to all fields, and you've got the room for it. So that's where I think really this sets you guys apart, too.
Yeah, the other day I was out there. There were four guys who were a little older than me. So you know, some people might call
25.
Them older. Yes, exactly. But they were playing a game of you know, videos or simulator golf on Top
oh, yeah.
Tracer.
Mm-hmm.
So they were literally in a foursome playing a scramble. I couldn't tell if they were playing a scramble or if they were playing against each other. Mm-hmm. So that kind of thing is very prevalent down there. I mean, it is kind of just trying to hit every potential type of golfer. I do a little bit of the social media for the golf course myself. And the other day I just put one up about, hey, if you don't have time to play golf, come and play 2 hours of video yeah. simulator or come, you know, hit some golf balls. But I really believe the interactive nature of the Top Tracer, the app and the mm-hmm. monitor and the screen is the key there.
Yeah.
And I've noticed, if you've noticed this too, around here, St. Andrews is putting in more.
Oh, are they really?
Kind of a sister course for us.
Oh, okay.
And then also, is it Prairie Bluff?
Prairie Bluff and Lockport.
They're building an entire new indoor structure.
Wow.
That I'm sure is going to have Top Tracer because their first one does.
Oh, wow.
So, and it's probably as big as one of ours.
Okay.
So, but that's the nice thing is we've got more of these bays than anybody else right now. There's 42 of them that have Heat and Top Tracer. There's one VIP room where you can... where it's closed in, it's got yeah. furniture, it's got a television,
yep.
it's got special lighting if you want to do that in mm-hmm. the evening. So we're going to probably expand on that a little bit and make a couple more bays available for hitting during the day, but also rentable at night for that kind of thing.
Sure.
So it's just, you know, I always tell people the next thing's ice cream, man. You know, you have some soft serve or something out there.
Because, I'm in.
Yeah, I mean, it's yeah. just... I want it to be fun. The Gem Six absolutely want golf to be fun.
Right.
We'll talk a little bit about them if we have time. But
sure.
Yeah, that's definitely the goal down there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you're doing a great job out there. And honestly, I mean, all of that is in addition to the 72 holes that you have here already.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You've got 72 holes of golf. You got a world famous one that a few people may have heard of Dubs Dread. And, mm-hmm. You know, anyone who listens to this podcast knows I talk about it every single time at the beginning of the show. And, you know, obviously, really quick, last thing on the practice area, you also have events. So I know you've got the Scotch and Stogies you've had. You just
yeah,
had one
yeah.
recently. I mean,
just
people,
had one last Friday
night. People yep. love this stuff.
Yeah, because, I mean, when you're out there, it's just cool. The one before was the Scotch and Stogies. Everybody's having a cigar, which
yeah.
they're not – normally we don't allow smoking in there.
Sure.
So it's like a one-off night, and they love that.
Yeah.
We had Revolution here the other night. Revolution Brewing
right.
was the – sponsor. So it's usually something with an alcohol or sponsor, somebody who kicks in a little something for the players. We mm. include it in the package. And it's just a great time to come out. I mean, it's like a bowling league at the golf course.
Yep.
I mean, literally that. Right now, we haven't done the weekly league thing. We haven't really found a time where that really fits for us and for customers. But the one-off events, we've got another one coming up in March.
Oh, okay.
And not to give us a plug, but this stuff is always on CoghillGolf.com. You go to events.
Plug away. That's why we're here.
And you see, yeah, exactly. You see the entire schedule on there at one glance. So you can sign up for an event that's in August if you want to right
yeah.
now to make sure you get in there.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a ton of events on there. You can actually sign up and pay for them right there. So that's been really successful too.
Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. And you know, like we said, you've got the great golf courses here. You've got four golf courses. Last year, people in the Chicagoland area who have come here, they've probably noticed a few upgrades to the courses, including like the Cog Hill signage that you got now between
mm-hmm.
the ravines and Dubs Dread, which
yep.
I think is fantastic.
That was cool.
And last year you had the underrated golf tour here,
mm-hmm.
Steph Curry's thing. You had really high caliber players, junior players here. It was an entirely different feel because I would come out here and again, shockingly,
mm-hmm.
hit balls. And I got kind of like this feel like, wow. Things are really upgrading around here just visually, and you can kind of feel it. More in store for this year? I don't know how much you could share, but
yeah,
that was
absolutely.
A big event.
I mean, for me, and I came from the background, I was with Troon Golf for 12 years.
Yep.
And with that company, what the customer sees
mm-hmm.
was really important. Kind of brought that along with me. I mean, what are the things we can do that will make the facility better visually, will make it more aesthetic, make it more pleasing to the eye, however you want to say that. But some of the things like the Cog Hill signage, We had Barstool Sports here a couple years ago, yep. and they put up their slap-up one out there.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, man, it would be cool if we could just build those letters. Mm-hmm. And so we did a posting on social media after the season with all the people who took their pictures out there.
Yeah.
Like huge groups of people with the Coghill letters. So that kind of stuff we're definitely going to continue doing. Also, we've got some other projects that I think are in that vein. We're looking at doing some things to aesthetically upgrade Dubs Dread a little bit in the mm-hmm. future. Nothing disruptive of the season this year, but some potential collaborations with a new brewer we talked about a little
right,
bit.
That right.
I can't exactly tell you who it is yep. now yet, but we'll continue to do Pollyanna's. Been very, very successful with the Coghill beers.
Yeah, Pollyanna Brewing is a local Lamont company here.
Been great to work with, mm-hmm. and they produced the beer for us and labeled it. With the Coghill, we got the Range Picker Ale. We've got the
that's a good one.
Yeah, and for IPA, people love that one. I'm not a big IPA fan,
right.
but so you know, just trying to do those kind of things. I mean, in addition to trying to make the golf courses look better,
mm-hmm.
we did bring in. We have a new director of agronomy. Last year was his first year. He came from Butler National. He was a longtime assistant there.
Nice.
Reed's done a really good job. He's got a great crew. The golf courses, I think, by all accounts, were really, really good last year.
They were.
I'm the new guy, as I said. Everybody else who works here has been here 20 years, it seems like. So for me, number one and number three often get less of the conversation just because there's Dubs and Ravines.
Of course.
But those golf courses, turf-wise, were really, really good last year. The fairways were great. Greens were great. Fun golf courses to play. You know, that word they always use, kind of sporty. Mm-hmm. But they are fun golf courses to play. So we're going to do some upgrading on golf carts this year, which I know some of our customers will say, oh, my God, finally. You know, yeah, we're getting in that direction, too.
Nice.
We're going to have all four courses will have Tag Marshall GPS.
Nice.
Beginning in April.
Cool.
They've been great to work with. It helps us monitor play, which as we've gotten busier, everybody knows speed of play is. You and I have talked yep. about it before. Mm-hmm. But also gives the customer side GPS a nice look, too. So. Yeah, my buddies from school and know I'm in the golf business will always say, what do you do in the winter? You just sit around twiddle your thumbs. Right? I'm like, it has been a crazy winter here. It's
yeah.
really.
We're in your office now. I mean, it looks like you've been doing work.
Yeah,
so
it's a lot of projects, so a lot of things going on. So, once again, we're recarpeting the downstairs, mm-hmm. Recarpeting the upstairs, doing some refinish of wood floors. We did one of the rooms that are used for reception. It looks end up really looking nice. So, for all those folks who think golf has been successful the last couple of years, yeah, it has.
Yeah.
Thanks to the Gem 6 way of looking, they've always tried to put things back into the facility when they were able to do so. So there were some lean years back in the tough times, I'm sure. But there are some projects afoot for sure.
One of the things that I really appreciate, you mentioned the Gem 6. I mean, obviously, long-term family ownership here at Coghill. Every time I come. Maybe not every time, but a good percentage of the time, Mr. Jemsek is somewhere, and he will just be so thankful that everyone just comes. And he's just a super nice guy, and he makes his way around still. And, probably can't say enough about the work that they've done here at the course.
Yeah, I mean, once again, being the new guy and the fact that I think people don't really know. Sometimes they don't know much about it. They know who they are. They know sure. they owned the property since 1951. So.
Right.
Catherine, who's the president now, who I report to directly, she's the third generation. That's who I call Mr. Frank, Mr. Jemsek, Mr. Frank's daughter.
Yeah.
She's the middle child. But not just because I'm working here. I've done a lot of things in the golf business, been a lot of places. They have been fantastic. They're a nice family. They want people to enjoy themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They are thankful and grateful that people come and play golf here.
Yep.
I think people know that just by like your reaction.
Yeah, they literally say thank you for coming. I mean, it's like, oh yeah, no problem. Thanks
yeah,
for being here.
Exactly. Yeah. And Frank is, there's just no other way. My wife and I, we refer to him as a sweetheart.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just, you know, he's 6'7". He's a big dude, yep. but he's a big sweetheart.
Yeah.
And he loves the golf business, and he's had some minor health challenges the last couple of years that have kept him a little slower than he would like to be. But,
mm-hmm.
But he's still out here doing his thing. And Catherine is as committed to the golf business as he is for sure. So it's been a great run for them. Hoping that it's coming up on 2027 will be 100 years for Coghill.
Wow.
So that's another thing we kind of have on our sights of what can we do special at that time.
That's incredible.
Now they've not owned it that whole time, but it's been here for 100 years as of 2027.
So we had touched a little bit about some of the events that have gone on, not only at the practice area, but also on the golf course. Mm-hmm. You've got a lot of big events. Last year, you had the opportunity, and you felt very happy about having to host a PGA event. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So maybe talk a little bit about that. It was the first in your career, is that what you told
me? Yeah, that's it. I mean, I put something on social media, I think, about the first time that I'm a, 32-year member of the PGA.
Nice.
And, so it was the first time it actually had a national PGA event. Mm. And it was the PGA Junior Championship, which is the best junior golfers in the country.
Yep.
But when you sign on to do one with the PGA, it's a whole different ball game. I mean, they have a weatherman on site. They have
I know that.
That sounds hilarious, doesn't it?
It does. That's awesome.
Yeah, literally, he's the one that calls off play. You don't have to do any of that stuff. And we did have a call or two call offs.
It was a rough week.
Yeah. And then literally we have a room above the 2-4 pro shop. That's a big, huge room. They probably had 15 people on site.
Really?
With tech people, IT, social media, tournament ops. So it was a big deal. Catherine always wants to stay well connected with the PGA in the event that there's an opportunity to do something in the future.
Yep.
People always ask me, is that going to happen? I'm the wrong guy to ask. I've not been here long enough. I'm a little jaded as it comes to the modern golfer. I'm not sure we offer what Medina can offer from a clubhouse and surrounding standpoint. Mm. But people, when they talk about when the tournament was here, just loved it.
Yeah.
Loved the parking, loved the golf course to get around and watch the golfers. So in any event, back to that, it's one of those things where the PGA was very pleased with the event. We had a great time. The staff loved it. Some unbelievable scores.
Yeah. I mean, these kids, I couldn't believe it. Well, looking at the scoreboards that were up here, I was like, holy cow.
Yeah, no, it's to be 15 under or whatever he was on Dubs, or actually Ravines and Dubs together. But, so obviously we know all the young players are really, really good. But the incoming president of the PGA was here to do the announcements for the winners, and he's now, John Lendert's now the PGA president. So it was great for us. It was a nice week. We were very happy to have it come, and we were very happy to see it go.
I believe so, yeah. Oh, yeah, I get it. Totally. Well, and I think it's interesting, too, because, Cog Hill's got so many different, I like to call, departments. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you've got the great world-class golf. You've got a little bit of the more common man golf, if you want that as well. Mm-hmm. You've got the practice area we've talked about. You've also got the top-notch academy, which, by the way, Kevin Weeks is probably the best instructor, if not one of the best, in the country.
Just won the National PGA Teacher
exactly.
of the Year. Yeah.
There you go. And so you've got all of this going on, and it's almost like there's this, not to get too far ahead of myself, but there's almost this backdrop of, as the game continues to evolve and mature and change from a technology standpoint, you just mentioned this is going to be almost 100 years in existence. You guys have done a pretty good job keeping up with everything, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think the bottom line of it is always that grow the game mentality. Way before there was the words grow the game was even anything, right? I mean, and once again, something I can't take credit for, but just that emphasis on we're going to provide access to the golf course. And a quick little story is when I got interviewed here, it was all about the new manager needs to, they were interested in revenue. How do we build our revenue? How do we build revenue so we can do things, like I mentioned we're doing now? So often I'll run up against the Gym 6 wanting to do something that, frankly, doesn't build revenue. Mm. And I'll have to say, well, now, okay, remember what you hired me for. Remember that's that part of the deal. But there are plenty of times that they make that decision that doesn't go for the easy dollar
and gives
access to golfers. And that's if that's the youth on course thing, which is an unbelievable deal for the golfers who are in that program, family golf, which if you ever talk to Mr. Frank, it'll be one of the first things he ever mentions to you. And, all the instructional, we do the Lamont Park District instructional program.
Yep.
We're involved with the U.S. Adaptive Golf Association. Mm-hmm. I mean, the list goes on and on, stuff that it was here before I got here. But I always tell them, particularly Frank and Catherine, put their money where their mouth is when it comes to the grow the game stuff.
Yeah.
And you and I have gone back and forth a little bit in social media on some of that stuff, too. Just like, yeah, you can pay lip service to it or you can actually do it.
Correct. Yeah.
And to do it costs you money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just the bottom line. So even our PGA Junior League program, which is the second biggest in the country, is one of the lower price ones, which some of the other golf courses aren't super excited about. Oh, Cog Hill only charges this for it, whatever. But it's not always just about, you know, making as much money on those programs as you can.
Yeah, no, that's entirely fair. I mean, even the Youth on Course initiative that you mentioned, and they've been on the show in the past. I mean, they're charging $5 for people to or for their kids' members to come out and play courses that would charge you and I much more than that. And that's the way it should be. That's literally, like you said, that's literally putting your money where your mouth is, getting people on the golf course. And it's good that people are welcoming it.
Yeah, I've never asked you the question of, like, where did you learn to play the game? But I learned to play a game on an 18-hole par 3 golf course.
Wow.
That was affordable at the time, right? I couldn't play the 18-hole golf course. Not that we were dirt poor or anything, but it was still considered an expensive game.
Yeah.
And so then got a pass when I started playing high school golf to play at our local municipal golf course. And that's where, you know, I started just playing as much as I could.
Yeah. Yeah.
So where did you start?
So playing? It's funny you ask. So I cut my teeth at, like, public courses. Inwood Golf Course in Joliet is where I'm from.
Yeah.
But I also, I would say I learned the game, how to get better, at the country club that I worked at.
Okay.
At Joliet Country Club, the now defunct Joliet Country Club.
Yeah.
But so I kind of, like, got to see both sides of it. But as you and I have talked about many times, I have a preference, and that's public golf.
Yeah. I mean, mine is, I would say my preference is to play public golf, but it's definitely to work at your public golf course.
Yeah,
I have done the general manager job at both a private club and and several public golf courses, and there's no comparison for me. It's just the world that I grew up in that I'm most familiar with. And here it is. We've got a great mix of what I would call blue-collar, white-collar golfers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're going to get to see everything, and the people who come back are the people who love the place. You're not going to, you know, about 1,000 with them every time, but they come back here because they have a lot of loyalty to Cog Hill and the fact that they truly do love to come here and play golf.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it is certainly different than a private club experience from what I've been involved in, but it's preferable for me for sure.
Yeah, I totally agreed. And last thing I'll mention, and we could certainly mention more things if you'd like to, but you do offer passes. You offer, would you say it's a membership? I know that it's kind of filtered.
Not say it's a
membership. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Because it's gotten away from that,
I think. And because, you know, if you ask a consultant to start one of these businesses from the ground up, they would always tell you don't do this because you're better off managing a daily fee golf course if you have enough traffic potential. Mm-hmm. Price it for where people can afford to play on a pay-as-you-play basis.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is where, and you guys all know this, somebody's going to play 150 times and just get you down to $40 a round on Dubstrad.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Well, in my opinion, nobody should pay $50 a round to play Dubstrad, but
agreed.
That's just, you know, we've kept that program in place. We've certainly increased the price on it and reduced some of the benefits from the program because we want to tailor it to really that person who's willing to pay a reasonable amount on a volume discount.
Now, do you guys still do the dynamic pricing as well?
And we do. The dynamic pricing is a different program, and that is more allows us easily to price based on when the busiest times are.
Okay, yeah.
And it's kind of an algorithm thing where it's done automatically, or we can adjust it. Like, I can go right now and change the price for tomorrow on our software. And that has been as big a difference for us from a revenue standpoint during COVID as any other decision.
Yeah.
The customer, people are always reluctant to put that in because they think the customer is going to hate it.
Right.
The customer already doesn't hate it. They already do that to the Chicago Bulls, Cubs, airlines, you name it, doesn't. It really, if you're in that business, you're not doing dynamic pricing, you're kind of missing the boat.
Yeah, I agree.
It doesn't mean all pricing will be higher. We do have some times in the afternoon where we made those prices lower than what they used to be.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to get, you know, the most money for your premium times.
Yeah.
And that's really on Saturday. We only have so many Friday, Saturday, and Sunday morning tee times that we can put out there. So
yeah, it's only so much time in a day.
Yeah. So, and that's, you know, I had a buddy who used to own a movie theater, and it was all about, you know, he would almost give away the tickets so he could sell the snacks. You know? you bought those before, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
The butts in the seat were really important to him. And did you notice that AMC's doing dynamic pricing now? They are. People were just, their heads blew off. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
That totally makes sense. Would I pay more to sit right in the center of the theater than sit in the first row with my head, you know, craned up, look, yes, I will.
100%.
And I think there probably will be people who do that too.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
But yeah, so those kind of things, the little tweaks have been important to the business. Obviously, timing is really, if your timing's great in life, you're lucky. And mine has been fairly good. I come here the year before COVID started. We thought it was going to end the golf business. As it turns out, it's been a huge boom for the golf business. Yeah. So that was nice timing, even though there was nothing nice about COVID, obviously.
No, right, right. No, it was definitely a catalyst to many good things in the game. And in addition to doing all the work you do here, you're a huge golf fan in general. There was a little bit of a small, I think maybe one or two people heard of it, Netflix series that came out.
Hadn't heard of it.
And so you're working through Full Swing, obviously, last week on this show. Me and Dan actually talked a little bit about our thoughts. But what is your takeaway from Full Swing so far?
Well, I mentioned earlier before we went on air here that I'm obviously a 32-year PGA member. So I'm going to take the PGA Tour side. I feel like it's always been the best players. It's always been and for a lot of the time, obviously, it was the only game in town.
Yeah.
So I get how over time somebody might look at, hey, how can I find a way to, you know, you could talk about the AFL and the NFL back in those days and all that. But I certainly feel like the stable players that the PGA Tour has held on to, for whatever argument you want to make there. If you look at the leaderboard from last weekend.
Yeah, pretty good at the Genesis.
And I posted something on Twitter about, well, look at this one. Yeah, this is a pretty good. And the people who are really big into the live stuff, they'll take the first day's tournament scoreboard and post it.
Right.
Well, yeah, it's always, you know, it's like in the old days in the PGA Championship, it used to be four club pros and a journeyman pro would be in the top of
exactly.
The, you know, but by the end of the week, they're not. And so I love the stable players the tour has right now, I guess would be my answer to that.
Yeah.
I think it's given Rory a unique chance to become the face of the PGA Tour, which I think that was a missing spot after Tiger, you know, got older and had his issues. And I think I love the episode about Joel Damon. I thought he was the kind of guy that
a lot of people love that one for sure.
It hurt me when he would say, I don't think I'm good enough to be a top 50. You know, because he talked about that a little bit.
Isn't that wild?
Talk yourself into positiveness. I'm not the most positive guy in the world, but
somebody has to be the 70th best player in the world.
Yeah, but I can't imagine me, you know, even as self-effacing as I can be, it's hard for me to say, well, somebody needs to be the 100th best general manager in the world.
Why not me? Right.
Yeah, so I don't know. I thought it was really interesting, and the stuff with Justin and Jordan is cute. Obviously, I think that's good stuff. So, yeah, I think it's. I've already read it's not going to be to golf what the Formula One show was to racing.
Right.
Because my daughter, who's never watched a Formula One race in her life, can tell you all about that.
Oh, does she watch Drive to Survive?
She's a 27-year-old female. Loves to play golf, but loves the NBA. But she loved that show, you know. So I don't know if it's going to be that kind of show for golf. But I thought it was kind of funny they started off kind of defining the golf terms. You know,
every episode,
bogey is this. I'm like, okay.
Did you know that a professional golf tournament lasts 72 holes? That there's a cut in between.
I thought that was a very interesting choice. But okay. And then I did think that I mentioned to you that I think the live thing was early on in that show, so they didn't get to delve into it quite as much. And I don't know. I think where the money comes from is always problematic.
Agreed.
I'm sure that their PGA Tour gets its money from people who are rather unsavory. So there's a limit to that, I think, like all things. But it's an interesting time. I told somebody when it first started, I never envisioned golf business talking about this kind of stuff.
Crazy, isn't it?
So it'll be interesting. This year, I think, will be a big year to see how it pans out.
Yeah.
I think Liv has another year. They got unlimited money. Another year to show whether they can put up the kind of leaderboards and interest that even get close to matching the tour.
Yeah, I mean, I think at some point it just becomes an echo chamber. Mm-hmm. If nobody's watching, and you could throw money at it. Bring Thomas Peters at the time of this recording just came over to Liv. I mean,
but it's Thomas Peters.
But it's Thomas Peters, right. You know, I mean, and it's interesting. I don't know who you felt. Was there a golfer in the episodes, because I know you're still working through the episodes, was there a golfer so far where your opinion changed on them?
The two Liv guys so far that I've watched, I mean, I was floored by the Brooks Koepka stuff.
Yeah.
I would have never thought he would have allowed himself to be on video showing that much doubt.
I agree.
You know, once again, he knows he's on video. It's not like it's, you know, it's not like it's captured without his knowledge.
Right.
I just thought it was very interesting. I think Ian, although I'm not a huge fan, helped himself a little bit. I think they helped him with the family stuff.
Yes.
I mean, you show five or six people around the dinner table and you're having fun with your kids on the plane and all that stuff. That helps you regardless of who you are. And so, you know, kudos to him if that's really the thing with him and that's part of that decision-making process. But no, is the answer to that. I don't think it's changed my opinion 100% for anybody.
Yeah.
It's not made me dislike anybody or like anybody more. What's coming up? You watched the whole thing so far. I mean...
Well, I mean, depending
there's
on...
There's a Rory episode.
Rory's the last episode. I mean, I don't think there's really too much, not to spoil anything, but I don't think there's too much that you don't already know about him.
Insiders are going to know this.
Exactly. Right? I mean, we're not the demographic.
Right. I mean, we're watching it because of this.
Exactly.
We can talk to our buddies about it or people in the golf business and what do you think about it and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're not trying to... They're trying to bring us in for the first time.
No.
But it is a really interesting time. Golf was a niche sport when I got into the business. Simply put, it did not have the mass appeal or the, you know, or the big market platform that it does now. So that has changed, but then you add this element to it. It's a big deal. I'm looking forward to watching the rest of it and seeing what happens.
Do any of those guys, you don't have to name names, do any of those guys make their way out here every so often? Any tour players?
You know, not that often. We've got more non-tour players.
Yeah. You got a lot of celebrities that come out.
Yeah, we have people, and I posted something recently about Evel Knievel, which is just a thing for me. I'm sorry, he's not with us any longer. But I grew up at that age when it was, you know, he was doing his crazy jumps and stuff. But there's still a video available on the internet that shows him talking about his gambling. He used to bring his marks out here.
Really?
Park his RV, because Mr. Joe Jamsik would let him park his RV in the parking lot. He had to have special permission.
Yeah.
And he would play, he would gamble against his buddies out here at college.
No kidding.
Yeah.
On the course?
Big time gambler.
Yeah.
About
well, that I knew.
About a 9 handicap or so.
Really?
And there's a couple of pictures of his golf swing. It's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
But just, you know, talking about confidence. I mean, you know, that was no Brooks Koepka thing there. I mean, that guy thought he was great at everything he did. You know? but, yeah, so, you know, not to mention any name, not to throw any names out there. But, yeah, certainly we get our share of baseball players, basketball players.
Yeah.
The delightful Mr. Bo Jackson plays out here
a
little bit. And
frequently.
He's very nice to people when he's out here, from my understanding. I talked with him briefly on the putting green one time, and my brother-in-law was sitting in the cart.
Mm.
And I didn't want to do the whole introduction thing because it's weird. And not like he knows me very well.
Right.
But when I went back to the cart, he's like, was that Bo Jackson? Like, we were talking about his charitable outing and stuff. He doesn't know me. He wouldn't know me from Adam. But it was very nice to me when I told him who I was. You know, Ozzie Guillen plays golf out here quite a bit. And, you know, that to me, the golfers who are in the area and close enough here, they get treated like they're a regular customer, which here I hope is well. And I think that's part of what they like about it, too.
Yeah. As you know, I mean, just real quick side note on that. I mean, you know, I'm out here all the time. I don't live far. I would agree. Every single person, I'm not just saying that because we got microphones in front of our roof, but every single person I've come in contact here, they've just the best customer service. They're always nice. I mean, that's a reflection on you guys as far as what you instill, and just they're good people all across the board.
That's it. I finally, after many years of, you know, listening to management stuff and doing leadership things and trying to be as good at that as I can be, understand that you pick good people with good character and good attitudes, and you make them into what you want them to be employee-wise.
Yeah.
Because you can't do the other way around. I mean, and they did that here for a long time, which is really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And then when people come, and Nelly Korda and Will Zalatoris were here last fall.
Right, I forgot about that,
And when people come and they're just kind and they don't ask for a bunch of stuff and you can tell they're just not into that, that's really refreshing.
Yep.
Both of them were. We got pictures for social media with both of them, and they were just very kind, and they were here. They're getting paid to do a thing, which I get that. But you've seen it, and I've seen it when people are more prima donna-ish, and it's not, it doesn't leave a good taste in your mouth, and so it's always nice when people like that are here, and then there'll be days when I'm off on a Sunday, and somebody shows up. You know, it's like Backstreet Boys.
Yeah, I forgot about that. I did see that. Yeah, so it was
not like
two.
I was going to run out there.
Right. Two of the three? Or I don't know how many there
are. I try to act like I don't know because I don't want
to. Yeah. Yeah, we're sitting here just talking to listeners, just like, oh, yeah, Backstreet Boys. We got the whole album catalog at home.
Yeah, because so they were in town doing a show and they wanted to play some golf and they got a hold of somebody. And
yeah,
it was very cool. But We have a connection with the Chicago Blackhawks,
yep.
the Chicago White Sox. Just being the Coghill name and Coghill brand, which once again I have nothing to do with as far as getting it where it is now, affords you a lot of recognition and people want to come see what it's all about. So that's kind of cool.
Definitely,
for sure.
So. As far as golf in general, I mean, obviously it's a changing time in golf. We're talking about full swing. We've talked about all the cool stuff that you got going on here, and other courses of your stature are doing similar things. What would you say is your outlook for the game itself right now? Is it strong? Could it be better? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'll cut it into two things, short-term and long-term. Mm-hmm. Short-term, I think that we're still pretty bullish on the game of golf in the next couple seasons. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think, economically things stay decent and people are still going to look for something to do outside, which they were doing during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
My concern was always what this next generation, what the generation in the 20s and 30s were going to do. Were they going to spend money and throw themselves into this sport?
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to see more of that out at Coghill, just anecdotally, more people coming out, playing golf, having a couple beers, playing some music in their golf cart.
Yep.
And having, a recreational time.
Yeah.
Time is the important element in that sentence because it takes 4 to 5 hours to play a round of golf,
mm-hmm.
18 holes. So people need to have that, be able to make that enough time once or twice a week to make it good for us in the business.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm guardedly optimistic in the short term. The long term, I think, depends on what it depended on in the 90s and the 2000s, which is supply and demand.
Yeah.
I mean, we're starting to get where we're starting to build some more golf courses nationally. Finally, when there were more places closing than opening for years.
For the first time in a long time.
Overbuilt like crazy in the 90s. I was in the business during that time.
Tiger Boom.
I worked in a development course that got built because they were going to build houses and why not build a golf course?
Right.
Well, unfortunately that didn't help the supply demand picture. So I think it all depends on that.
Mm-hmm.
For us at Coghill, Glen Eagle's being closed. There's 400 new homes going to be put over there. People looking for something to do. Can we capture that part of the market? We also do wedding receptions and social events here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really popular place to do that.
We had our wedding reception here.
Yeah.
Or shower.
Oh, yeah?
It was a
I
long
didn't even
time
know
ago.
That.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We had our wedding shower in this building.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just, I mean, it's close. It's reasonably priced. It's not crazy poking the eye price-wise. It's a nice building. The staff's good. So, I mean, all the things that make it a nice place to have those. So we have, 60 to 75 wedding receptions a year.
That's nice.
Let's do the math. That's more than one a weekend on the average. So it's just a unique place that I think is really well positioned to do okay even in the long term. But the question becomes, what do we need to add to the facility in order to keep doing that?
Yeah.
And I think part of it is the entertainment factor, upgrading the facilities, upgrading the golf carts, upgrading the grounds, mm-hmm. all those things that people see. And that's my goal. That's what I want to do. I mean, I'm not going to put 30 years in at Coghill like Nick did before me, 39.
Yay.
So in the short time, I always told him I can't break his record.
Yeah.
So, but all those times or all those things we'd like to do to kind of elevate the business a little bit.
Nice, nice. Do you ever foresee, and once again, listeners, we're talking to Troy Newport, GM over at Coghill. Do you ever foresee having events, whether it be music, whether it be dinners, where people would come to Coghill as a social spot and not necessarily around golf?
Yeah, we've talked about it. We've gotten fairly close to some kind of unique ideas to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But the question always becomes, are you ready to step outside of your core business?
Right.
And with family businesses, typically they don't usually do very much of that because mm-hmm. they become so good at the business that they're doing. Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think that for us, it's like, can we do more of the social and entertainment things that are attached to golf?
Mm-hmm.
And can we give people, can we give the a parent who's dropping their child off for a lesson, or a podcast guy who's doing a podcast and his wife is down the
track? Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah.
can we give them something to do that fills their time, they enjoy, they'll come back and do, and bring their family members and do, you know, those kind of events with them? I think that's more likely going to be the direction we go. I mean, okay, we can already serve 600 meals to a golf outing, which yeah, nobody else can do space-wise. We've got this big pavilion that we use in the summer. It's just, you know, 30-some years in the golf business is a really unique place. A lot of different things can happen here.
Right.
And so I'm, even though these projects have been daunting this winter, I'm looking forward to 2023, see what we can get done.
Excellent, excellent. Well, folks, we're right up against the time.
Awesome.
This is going to be the first of, I think, a few this year that Troy and I are going to do. I now have the capability to come and do this with you.
Nice. We can pick out some golf related topics and
there we
can,
go.
You know, talk
just go
about,
for
you
it.
Know, just kind of freeform it a little
You're
bit.
A cigar guy too. And so,
this time of year, I'm looking for warm days when I can just sneak one
Today's
in.
Today's not bad.
No, I'm considering it later.
I got to actually go check my humidor when I get home because it's been sitting all these months. I'm like, oh, I got to make sure they're okay.
I'm not a one a day guy or anything like that, but I do enjoy occasionally. It's the relaxing 45 minutes or so you get to have. Put
right.
some headphones in.
Maybe
listen,
a book
you know,
or something.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's enjoyable. So
yeah,
we'll have to do that together sometime.
Absolutely.
Too as well.
We need to do that. Yeah. And we'll do dinner again soon down here. It's a really, for those who live in the area, downtown Lamont is.
We are floored by it.
It's
frankly.
Great.
We didn't know what we were getting into. We moved to Lamont. And, you know, there's 6 or 7 or 8 nice places to eat.
Mm-hmm.
If you like to go to bars, there's places down there. There's yep. there's all the street festivals in the summer.
And every type of bar you could think of.
Yeah, too. No, yeah. It's really, I mean, this is not a, you know, Lamont-sponsored podcast.
No.
But it is. I would accept it.
They
would consider that.
Yeah. Okay.
But it is a cool little town. We did not know what we were getting into when we
right.
When we moved there. And then it, all of a sudden, COVID hit. We couldn't do anything.
Right, right.
But now we're kind of back at it. So it is a neat place.
Definitely, definitely. Well, thank you for your long-term partnership with our podcast and website as well. And once again, folks, that's Troy Newport, General Manager of Cog Hill Golf and Country Club. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Always happy to do it. Nice to talk with you, Adam.